Adventure. Tonight's exciting story by Ron Evans is called Arctic Treasure.
Direction there, white desert. population of ice floes, so tightly packed that the clear blue of the water could barely be seen between them. Only one thing stood out. A huge iceberg dead ahead of us. Its peak was at least 50 feet high. It was a quarter of a mile in width, and the greater portion of this was not more than a few feet above sea level. The skipper reduced speed as we drew close to the berg, and we slowly nosed our way through the pack ice. Then hard a port on the wheel, we came alongside a flat stretch of the berg as neatly as we did the mothership. Fred, Snorri, and Lars jumped over the side of the ice, each armed with a sledgehammer and two steel pikes. These were hammered into the ice to hold fast our mooring ropes. We had moored at the point nearest to the steep rise of the berg, and the peak now towered above our tiny ship, only a few yards away. Littering the berg was a huge colony of seals, literally hundreds of them, most watched with interest, unaware of the fate in store for them.
You taped him.
More like you told him, didn't you?
No, all right. I'll admit it. I'd have hated to see you being given the killing work while I have to look after the mooring.
Well, for that, I suppose I should be thankful. But why I should have to stand here and watch the ropes is a mystery. It looks very secure to me.
You're dead wrong, Tim. Bergs can be very treacherous. They'll split in half, crumble even on the slightest pretext.
Thanks for the cheerful news. What will you chaps do out there if that happens?
Make a mad dash back here if we can. Oh, there's little risk to the ship, laddie. We're all right, really, so long as we don't get dunked in the water.
And if you do?
A man's life expectancy in that water's less than a minute, I've heard.
Oh, here's the mate, Fred.
You ready, Freddy?
Yes. Yes, I was just warning young Tim here of the danger.
Oh, great. That saves me the job. But what do I do if the berg does start to break up? Into fragments, I mean.
Yeah, well, you see the slope over there?
Yeah.
The main danger lies in a split appearing there and breaking away. The broken part could roll and drag the ship over with it. Now, if that happens, cut the moorings.
Don't look so alarmed, kid.
It's a million to one, but it's as well to know.
Okay? Yes.
You find a fire axe, fore and aft. Go along and put them beside the bollards, just in case. Okay, Freddy, let's go. The skipper, Snorri, and Lars are waiting for us.
I watched them go, rifles slung over their shoulders and long clubs swinging from their hands. They didn't bother with a few seals in sight of the ship. The main colony was on the other side of the berg. I got out the axes and lay them on the deck. I shuddered when the shooting started. The ugly picture of the slaughter in my mind's eye. As the shots echoed out across the stillness of the icy waste, small chunks of ice broke away from the high peak and came down the slope in numerous miniature avalanches. At first it worried me, but I quickly realized it was of little importance and only caused by the sound waves of the shots. Trying to take my morbid thoughts off the slaughter, I studied the white peak, which had obviously once been part of the glacier. I looked at a point a third of the way up. A large chunk of ice dislodged itself and came tumbling down, breaking up into small pieces during its descent. The particles came to rest on more than 50 feet from the ship. When I looked back, there was a dark star at the point where the ice had broken away. And the more I looked at it, the more intrigued I became. What could be the cause, I wondered. Something up there, I'm sure of it. If I could just get a closer look. Of course, there's the skipper's binoculars. With luck, he'll have left them in the wheelhouse. I'm darn sure he won't have taken them with him. Ah, here they are. Maybe I'm just imagining it. It could just be a crevice in the ice. Now, where is it? Yes. Oh, darn these glasses where each eyepiece has to be focused. I can't. the end that's sticking out. It's almost as though it's the yard arm of another ship. It can't be. How can a ship be in the middle of an iceberg? I was both astonished and very curious. And this made me do a foolish thing. Yes, foolish it may have been, but I'm glad to this day that I did. Putting the binoculars back into the wheelhouse, I then jumped over onto the ice and started up the slope. It rose only gradually at first. But soon the going became harder as it got steeper. Chunks of ice slid from under my feet, but I kept on, my eyes fixed on that piece of wood. Then I had it in my hand, and solid, smooth wood it was. It poked out through a hole in the ice, which was about 2 feet wide. Be part of a ship. I wonder how big it is. It goes deep inside the berg. There's just enough room for me to squeeze in here. It's like a tunnel. Reflects the light well. What's this? An iron ring around it. This looks like a piece of thick cloth. Better be careful, otherwise I'll... Oh, no! I must be seeing things. It's impossible!
Give it to
down the middle like the first cut of the knife in a wedding cake. The nearest portion seemed to waver, balancing. And suddenly, it collapsed. A huge wall of ice swung outwards and crumbled into an avalanche that swept down the slope towards us. We're only a few yards from the ship.
Leave your path! Get on board! Only telling quiet! Come on, Tim!
We dropped our burden and ran for it. We reached the deck in good time and looked back. The avalanche, thank heaven, was losing its impetus in the gradual slope. Greased the pelts, pushed them forward, and painted out.
Oh, good. It's even done some work for us.
Huh? I don't like the look of the other half of that peak. It's got...
Hey, what's that?
There. I can see it all. It's the Viking ship. It must have been locked in the ice for centuries.
Gee. It ain't very big, is it? Not much bigger than our whale chaser.
It's a miracle. A miracle.
It's a pity we can't go and take a closer look, Tom.
Why, with the rest of the peak ready to collapse on top of it, you'd have to be crazy.
I know my history, and what's in that ship is worth a million times more than those sea pelts.
What do you mean, kid?
Come with me and I'll show you.
What is it? Treasure or something?
No, nothing like that. It's evidence that'll change a myth into a fact. Has anyone got a camera so we can take a picture of it?
The skipper's got one.
Hey, you! I think it's safe now for us to get those pelts.
Skipper! Can young Tim borrow your camera?
Camera? No, he can't. Come on, let's get those pelts.
Seems you're out of luck. Forget it, and let's get the job done before that peak collapses.
We hopped over the side and ran across the ice. While the bundle was being dragged clear, I ducked away and ran off toward the Viking ship, which now stood out clear and stark against the white background of the overhanging peak. I was crazy, I know. My curiosity overcame any fear. I'd actually reached the wooden longship when they missed me. I ignored their shouts and gingerly stepped on board, lost completely in the wonderment of the moment. Close to me, hunched on his rowing bench, sat a fur-clad warrior. His skin was frost-blackened, but otherwise perfectly preserved. It was as though he had died in his sleep, eyes closed and at peace. Lying in the center section was a battle axe, which I picked up. I counted 45 men and 8 women. Then I turned to the huddled group in the center. There were 8 of them, 4 men and 4 women. I gazed at their hooked noses and high cheekbones. At first I thought them to be Eskimos, but I pulled aside their stiff fur cloaks.
Tim, come here, you damn fool. Can you hear me?
Oh, never mind him. Let's get these pelts on board.
If that peak collapses, he'll be killed, Skipper.
That's his fault. Now, come on, here.
Look, Skipper, we can't just leave him up there.
Why not? I didn't ask him to go.
Look, there's something up there that fascinates him. I'll go and get him.
No. First we get these pelts on board. Then if you want to commit suicide, you can.
Okay. I'll go along with that.
Right. Now, cut your rope, Freddy. That's it. Now, show them all wearing small bundles. Like this.
I'll go with you, Tom.
No, you won't. You stay here, Freddy. That's an order.
Well, let me go instead of Tom.
No. It's my responsibility. Now, shut up, Fred, and keep working.
All right. This is the last one, anyway.
Okay, if I go now, Skipper.
It isn't okay, but how can I stop you?
No, you can't.
I'll see you later. Hey, Tom! Come back! You can't risk it now. The ice is starting to break up again.
I won't be long.
As Tom Brewer raced up the slope towards the Viking ship, I was oblivious to the danger above my head. The gigantic umbrella of ice shuddered and creaked. I closely examined the body as I was busy looking over the stores of dried food when I heard Tom shout. He was standing on a ledge of ice, looking over the row of bronze shields at me.
Tim! What the devil do you think you're doing? Get out of there, but quick!
Not yet, Tom. Come and take a look here.
You darn fool, the whole ice cap is about to come down around the hill.
Tom, you must come and look, please. Is there nothing we can do to save it?
Oh, that kid's gone crazy.
Look, do you realize the value of this find? It'll settle a lot of historical arguments, and
obviously...
Oh, now don't forget wise to yourself. Are you trying to get us both killed?
We must find a way of saving the ship, Tom. Look at
it. I ain't looking at anything. Are you coming with me, or do I have to carry you?
Float, I wonder? If we could throw it back...
All right, you ask
for it.
Now maybe you'll do as you're told. He's heavy. That poor kid must have gone off his head. It's as though this old hulk has bewitched him. Better step on it. This berg's gonna fall apart any minute.
Gave up.
This is the first time in 50 years I've told the story.
Is produced by Ann Fried and directed by Henry Diffenthal.